I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, from an emotional standpoint, this is a really big result for Atlanta United. A 1-1 draw in Orlando. And again, if you weren't with us the whole way, I mean, just think again about how this match played out. First half, especially the final 15 minutes of the first half, Atlanta United just holding on for dear life after Orlando City fails to convert on chance after chance after chance. There was a huge save by Brad Guzan on Sebastian Mendez, a kick save. There was a big saving tackle by George Bello. There was a big saving tackle by Franco Escobar. But Orlando, time after time after time, it felt like it was just an onslaught. And then finally, they got a kind of fluky goal off a deflection on a corner, and there was the deflation at halftime with Orlando statistically outplaying Atlanta United. 8 key passes to 1 in the first half. What were the shots? It like 7-1 on target in the first half for Orlando. But Atlanta United was much better in the second half. They just couldn't fight through it. And then Orlando goes to 5 in the back through their final subs. And it is a hopeful cross whipped in by Jake Mulroney that Adam John gets on the end of and heads it past Pedro Galese, and Atlanta United in stoppage time gets the 1-1 draw. And oh, by the way, it comes a few minutes after Nani had put a free kick off the back post and Emerson Hyndman had to bicycle kick it off the end line. Atlanta United, and you said a couple times in the second half, oh, this looks slow. It looks like they're lacking confidence. The confidence is a concern. They just got a huge injection of confidence thanks to the way that match ended.
The first 15 minutes of the second half was really good. You came out with a lot of energy. You put Orlando on their heels to open the second half, then hit that wall. And it was substitutions by Stephen Glass that changed this thing up. You got energy from John Gallagher. You got energy from Mateo Sosetu and Jurgen Damm. Adam John comes on and forces Galese into some turnovers, and he's just working and doing the things that we've seen him do. Jake Mulroney comes on at left back, which is a position – look, we didn't expect to see Jake Mulroney as a left back in a line of four. We had seen him as a wing back. He comes on for Bello. I don't know if that was the plan at the time, but you had to do it because Bello took a knock after a really good performance from him. And it's Mulroney and John, with a little help from Anton Walks, to get that goal that equalizes that you deserved. You know, you look at the second half, and yes, Orlando dropped off. You can fault Oscar Pereira. You can fault Orlando for not killing the game off. But the second half, you outshot Orlando 6-4. You had 4 shots on target to their 1 in the second half. You had more shots on target in the match than Orlando City did. The points that we made at halftime, total passing accuracy, 76% for Atlanta in the first half, 91.8 in the second half. Yes, Orlando dropped off, but you started to connect some passes. When it got slow in the middle of the second half, those subs came on and gave you a lift, and now you have a lift. That's going to be a very happy charter flight back to Atlanta. And tomorrow is a good rest day, but you have something you can build on positively on Monday on the training ground, and you're going to need that as you get ready for Miami on Wednesday.
Draws can be funny things, can't they? It feels like the draw on Wednesday. I think when we walked out of the stadium, that was a draw that felt like a loss. This is a draw that feels much more positive than the result you got on Wednesday. This is clearly a draw that feels like a win.
Yeah, Wednesday was weird because, I mean, it's not like Miami deserved to win that game. So I wouldn't say that it felt like a loss because you were outplayed. it felt like a loss because of the day, because of the news on Pity Martinez, because of the uncertainty, because of, you know, what now? And tonight, you had some of that what now carry over. You had that creep up at times where it looked like, what is this team going to do? And they still have questions to answer. And that's the thing here. You don't have to keep adding the but to the end about the result, because we know it's there. But you have to take whatever you can positively and move forward. This can be a lift to a team that desperately needs it right now. And they have two more games on the road. Wednesday in Fort Lauderdale against Inter Miami, who plays Nashville tomorrow night. And then you go to Nashville next Saturday night. You need whatever emotional lift you can find right now, and you got it tonight from that goal. It needs to spark better play from the start on Wednesday.
Man of the match brought to you by Heineken. We haven't really had time to deliberate during the break, but can I make a nomination?
Sure.
I nominate George Bello. I thought George was absolutely outstanding tonight before he had to be subbed off, and he was looked at by the physio staff after he came off. So hopefully there's nothing too terribly concerning about that. You know, George didn't necessarily lead the team in any categories tonight, but he had three tackles, an interception, gained four possessions. Bello won 58% of his duels. I'm just going through Opta here. I mean, we haven't really had time to discuss this. He passed at 87% on a night where Atlanta United really did struggle to connect passes. I point to a couple saving tackles he had, a couple moments where he really looked like a grown man out there. So that's my nomination, but that's not necessarily what we have to do. I just want to give George a shout.
I'm good with that. Why don't we do this, since this is kind of a weird one to do? That nomination is on the floor. We know a lot of you guys listen to us, and you're on Twitter with us. We don't have to name it in this segment, do we?
We can continue
to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe show our sponsor of the Man of the Match a little more love.
Why not?
Throughout the rest of the
full-time
report.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm having a Heineken when this night's over.
Sounds like a plan.
I feel like a Heineken after
So
this.
You guys out there listening, tweet at us at MikeConti929, at Longshoot. Let us know who you are voting for the Man of the Match, and we will make a decision before we're done.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a right or wrong answer. If
no.
you want to say Adam John, that's totally fine.
Brooks Lennon is one that I would consider as well. I thought he was very good, created the most chances for Atlanta tonight. Emerson Hyndman, by the numbers, was very good. I didn't really have that feeling. I didn't think he was bad, but I didn't realize some of the numbers that are like, oh, okay, that's a good night for him. Anton Walks was really good again. Anton Walks is putting together some performances, and we know that Fernando Meza is your expected starter when he's healthy. He's going to have to beat out Anton Walks.
I'll tell you, there is a listener of ours who was pushing very hard for Anton Walks on Wednesday.
I had a lot of people lobbying me. So if you want to lobby for Anton Walks now is the time.
I'm good with it. Okay, so man of the match to be determined. Here are the
yes.
final stats. Shots were 15-9 Orlando, but in the second half, 6-4 Atlanta United. And the shots on target in the match were 6-4 Atlanta United. As far as shots from inside the box, remember that was 7-1 at halftime Orlando. Well, each team had three shots from within the box in the second half. So the numbers really did spin in favor of Atlanta United. 55-45 the possession on the match, Atlanta United. Orlando won 52% of the duels. But, Jason, this to me is the key stat. Atlanta United in the first half passed at 76%, extremely low by their standards. In the second half, 92%. Huge turnaround.
Massive. And some of that is down to Orlando, again, not killing the game off. They dropped off. They've done this. They let you hang around. You have to punish them for doing that. And teams are starting to do it. Now we will see if Oscar Pereja makes some adjustments to this, because this is going to be – you know, you talk about losses that feel like wins and draws that feel like losses and these kinds of things. This is one that is absolutely going to feel like a bad loss for Orlando. And they're going to have to bounce back from this, because this was their moment.
Mm-hmm.
They could taste it. They had the win over Atlanta in front of their fans, and it's ripped away from them at the last minute.
How many times have we seen the Orlando Sentinel columns from Mike Bianchi, who was their big columnist. No, not to these guys. Not to them. Not to Atlanta. How many times has Atlanta United gone into Exploria Stadium and really ripped their hearts out in big moments for that club? And, yeah, as Jason said, I mean, they had fans there tonight, and those fans probably thought they were going home with 3 points, and instead they go home with only a single point. So keep your suggestions for Man of the Match coming, your questions and your comments as well on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. We will come back with the highlights right after this. Atlanta United and Orlando City play to a 1-1 draw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm not talking yet. No. Keep that up. Keep that up. Okay. You get the drift from there. I love that song.
That's
not the best Rocky IV was compared to some of the other movies in that series. Those two training sequences.
Yeah.
And remember, the Hearts on Fire part was, I believe, after Adrian had come back to the Soviet Union. Because remember, she didn't want Rocky to fight Drago.
Right. Yeah.
And you heard the line, even up the score. And that's one of the reasons why we picked this, because Adam John evened up the score in the second minute of stoppage time to give Atlanta United the 1-1 draw. But, you know, Adrian was concerned because Rocky was going to fight Ivan Drago, who had just literally killed Apollo Creed. Mm-hmm. And she told Rocky, you can't win. And I'll be honest, I think there were times tonight where we watched this match and thought, you can't win. And they didn't win, but they didn't lose.
It felt like a win.
Feels like a win to us, which is why we're playing fun music tonight here in the Full-Time Report. 1-1 Atlanta United draw against Orlando City. For every Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. No clean sheet tonight, but Brad Guzan did manage to make 3 saves. So Atlanta United's total donation on the season stands currently at $4,000 with 2 Brad Guzan clean sheets. Keep sending your comments and your questions on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. We are taking your nominations for Man of the Match tonight, because I think there's a lot of different ways you could go. I have nominated George Bello. I've seen a lot of other good suggestions, and we'll get through it here in a little bit. But first, the highlights, which are really limited to the 2 goals tonight. We'll start in the first half. Now, Jason and I had a debate at halftime. I really was down on this match at halftime, because the last 15, 20 minutes of the first half, it felt like Atlanta United was in danger of getting run out of the building. But as they're trying to hold on and just scratch and claw and avoid something late, I got nervous when they added 3 minutes to the first half. And sure enough, in the first of 3 added minutes, Orlando gets a kind of fluky, but certainly not against the run of play goal off a corner. Out of the near corner, short corner to the front post. DK turns, shot, deflects in for a goal. Benji Michel. Now, why was it fluky? Because as DK turned to shoot, he shot it off Benji Michel.
Yeah, he shot it off of Michel.
It deflected off Michel and in. Atlanta pled for offside, but Jeff Lorenowitz kept Benji Michel offside, as the replay showed. And you just thought, oh, man, not again. Not again, after just trying to kind of hold on and reset and figure it out at halftime. You felt the heads go down and the spirit deflate, and that's why I was really concerned going into halftime. But as we would find out, Atlanta United really did have a strong response after halftime.
They did, and it was immediate. coming out of the locker room, and I don't know what Steven Glass said to the guys at halftime, but you had a couple of big chances in the first 2 minutes, and then it petered out again. And I think that's where these things that are just not normal in your season, with all the little nagging injuries, with the new faces trying to get them fit, with day of the game travel, all that stuff, you hit another wall around the 60th minute. And it was when the subs started coming on to give a little more life. And it felt like every substitution added just a little bit more. But it was the last one, getting Mulroney on at left back. That was a gutsy move because, you know, he's not a traditional left back. He's more of a left winger. Edgar Castillo was on the bench. And Edgar Castillo can get forward. And we've seen it. But it's Jake Mulroney who you bring on to play left back for George Bello. He puts in the cross that gives you the point.
So let's hear it. This is the equalizing goal that felt a lot like the game winner. Adam John. Jürgen Damm close to the corner of the 18. Leaves it back to a teammate now. It'll be squared to Anton Walks, who plays it to the left side. Jake Mulroney, cross back, post, header, score! In the second of 5 added minutes, it's Adam John! And Atlanta United might steal a point! And they would steal a point. Adam John, we're literally getting the replay now. Fox 5 News is on. It wasn't quite back post. It was pretty much dead center. It felt like it was going for the back post, but Adam John putting it by Pedro Galese, who has made some big saves in his own right against Atlanta United in their two meetings this year. Walks got a hockey assist on it, and then it was Mulroney with the primary assist and Adam John, and that would stand as the equalizing goal. 1-1 the final score.
It might have been going to the back post, but Adam John got up for that one, and good header. He'd had one earlier that he connected with pretty well, but it was right at Galese, and you could kind of see the look on his face that it's like, just give me one more opportunity, because he hasn't seen many in his time on the field. He gets it from Mulroney, and his team gets that point that it's just one, but it feels like more, and it's got to feel like more to this group who's, look, they've been down a little bit. You know, you lost to Orlando on Saturday. You had the just weird nothing happening game on Wednesday with Miami. You needed something positive coming out of this, and you found it.
So, again, Atlanta United now 3-4-2 on 11 points. That moves them to 7th in the East. Orlando now 3rd alone in the East at 4-2-4 on 16 points. But they could be passed by Philadelphia, who plays tomorrow against, I believe, New York Red Bulls tomorrow.
Yes.
So we will continue to take your questions and your comments on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe, and we will read them after this break. Social Media Hour coming up next on the Full Time Report, with Atlanta United and Orlando City playing to a 1-1 draw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one.
Well, we think this might have been a turning point to the season tonight, so that's why we're going with inspirational music that may also be from somewhat cheesy 80s movies.
Hey.
So, I said somewhat.
All right.
Depends
fair
on
enough.
Your personal opinion. Karate Kid was solid.
That's a good flick. And we're absolutely trying to will this into a turning point for the season. We're not going to lie.
It feels like it to me.
And I
don't know.
Be.
Maybe I'm just so beaten down by the year 2020 and a little bit beaten down by just some of the things that have happened with this team. They've had a lot of setbacks. They've not had a lot of good luck at all. But this might have been a big one tonight. I feel that way. You got to do something with it on Wednesday. You know, that's the thing. You've got to do something with it on Wednesday now. But again, if you're just joining us, Atlanta United getting a goal from Adam John in stoppage time to get a 1-1 draw in Orlando, where Atlanta United was the better team in the second half after they were really on the ropes at the end of the first half. Of course, everything is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $3,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare as a not-for-profit hospital system Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United proud to be a Piedmont donor. Okay, let's get to your comments and questions on social media presented by TCL, the official smartphone partner of Atlanta United. I nominated George Bello for Man of the Match, but we've put the question to the 17s on Twitter. Five Stripes fan Jason says, Bello has to be the Man of the Match. Without him, Orlando would have had three at least. I can think of at least one big-time saving tackle that he had in the first half. And as I go through the kind of the haze of this Wild match, there might have been another in there.
He had a couple other big moments. And, look, the question about George Bello has been, can he defend well enough at this level? And he showed tonight that he can. This was the biggest test. You're going up against, in the first half, Benji Michelle. Second half, Chris Mueller moved over to the right side. Huon and the threat that he brings. And he handled it. George Bello handled it like a seasoned pro. That was a massive factor in getting the result tonight.
Five takes on the five stripes, also with Bello. James Parsons says, Bello, man of the match, 100% strong on the left side during the second half until his knock. Plus, those two defensive plays in the first half, especially outrunning his man on a ball over the top, was key, which is what we've been referring to. Agreed. Alex Payson says, Bello, man of the match. Michael Buckaloo says, I get all the props for defenders, but got to give the man of the match to Adam John after not scoring for more than 180 straight minutes.
Yeah, so often, I mean, in these situations, the guy who scores the goal is going to get the man of the match. And Adam John came on, and there are three things that I'll think of from Adam John in this match. The goal, obviously, is one. The header on target that was saved by Pedro Galasse. But it was the play that I think has symbolized Adam John's performances for Atlanta United, where very early after he came in, he just pressured Galasse into a turnover. And he works so hard. And he hasn't seen a whole lot of service. He hasn't seen a whole lot of opportunities. He has put in the work consistently. This is one of those things that, you know, I've felt like maybe he just doesn't mesh with the guys around him. Maybe, you know, he's making a different kind of run. They're expecting different, you know, different movement from the forward. Maybe it's just not going to work with this group. This can be the type of situation that, look, hey, let's just, when we don't have anything on, you know, let's throw it up and see if he can go get it. Let's give him those opportunities for the work that he's putting in.
Interesting suggestion from Hibachi Dragon says Mateus Hosetu because he calmed the team down.
I really like the game that Hosetu has. I like the game that Heinemann has, and I think he played that role at times as well tonight. Those are two guys who do a lot of little things that maybe don't get picked up on, you know, consistently, because you do need somebody to deliver that killer pass to create the opportunity. That's not necessarily the game that Heinemann and Hosetu give you. But those two guys give you two players who are very hard to take the ball from. They're two players who rarely make a bad pass, a giveaway. And they both do the work defensively. They're not known for being defensive midfielders, but we saw the play from Heinemann that kept the game alive. We saw Hosetu tracking back deep to defend. Both of those players give you a lot of confidence on the ball.
Jason W., I'm going to skip past all the ones we've already mentioned. Bello getting a lot of votes. Jason W. says Bello or Brooks Lennon because both worked relentlessly and provided energy throughout.
Lennon is an inspiration to the players in this team with his work rate. Because remember, he was not supposed to play Wednesday night. Emerson Heinemann told us that in media availability this week. That was supposed to be his night off. And when the Pitti Martinez transfer got to the point that it was all but done, you had to pull him from the lineup. Brooks Lennon had to go in, and I'm sure he was the first one to say, I'll play, I'll go, I'll do this. And he went a long way tonight. He played as a right wing. He dropped to right back in the flow of play when Miles Robinson had to come off. You have to give Franco Escobar a ton of credit as well, playing on a yellow, moving to center back, which we hadn't seen him play.
Right.
Not center back in a line of four. We had not seen him play that. He was excellent, but Lennon had the two key chances. He created the most for this team, and he's done that for a while now.
And you know, with a big club, any move you make in the offseason is going to be scrutinized. And I understand where there has been scrutiny because there's been so much roster turnover. But in the case of Brooks Lennon, That is a move the front office got right. I don't think there's much doubt about that now based on what we've seen.
That's a move that you 100% got right. And you got him when the negotiations with Julian Gressel were still ongoing. And I think if you had found a way to keep Julian Gressel, Brooks Lennon would still be playing matches and still be playing a lot of minutes for this team because you can't keep him off the field right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, Brooks Lennon is by far the minutes leader on this team. It's not even remotely close right now. Brooks Lennon has played way more than anyone else on this team. Who took my thrash says Glassy. Subs brought the goal. Team looked better moving Escobar inside, and there was a bit better movement and flow as the game grew. I don't hate that.
I don't hate that either. Two of the last three matches, both of the matches against Orlando, the team got better in the second half. That's a credit to the manager, Stephen Glass. This one, they got demonstrably better in the second half and even found another adjustment. You had to swing players around in different positions. We mentioned Escobar coming into the middle, Lennon dropping to right back, and then the decision to bring on Mulroney as the left back. That's the one that is going to get Stephen Glass a ton of credit. But whatever he said to this team at halftime, he changed the mood. At a time when, how often do you see a late goal in the first half and the team is broken going into the second half and it just never gets better? Glassy didn't allow that to happen tonight. Whatever he said at halftime, whatever the players said to one another, the mood was very different to open the second half.
Alyssa Martin suggests Eric Rometty.
Rometty, he was up and down. There were times where I think the amount of minutes he's played lately really wore on him. He had some uncharacteristic giveaways in his own half. But Rometty in the first half drew a lot of fouls, gave you some opportunities. It's going to be a battle in that midfield because Jeff Larinowitz came in and helped calm things as well on the defensive side of the midfield. Talked about Hyndman. We've talked about Hosetsu. Mo Adams feels like the odd man out right now after a poor 45 last Saturday against Orlando. Eric Rometty's going to have to keep playing well to keep getting those minutes. That's that internal competition that you need.
Okay. On non-man of the match topics, the vote appears to be overwhelming
George,
for
George
Bello.
George Bello wins the
appears
man of the match.
Appears to be overwhelming for Bello.
Thank you, Hyndman.
Abby Schiffman, good question. So now, do you think Mulroney could play as a back on Wednesday since Escobar is now out on yellow cards?
It opens up that possibility. We've seen Mulroney play on the left side pretty much. I think the easy play here is Lennon drops to right back, and then the question is, who do you play at right wing? Can Jürgen Damm give you a start on Wednesday? I think we've seen it with Kubo Torres, and I think we need to see it with Jürgen Damm, where you almost have to play through the rust at some point. You just have to shake it off, and you know you're going to have moments where you have mistakes. You know you're going to have moments where it looks really sloppy because you're playing further than you can. You have to break through that wall, that fitness wall that you're dealing with. I think Jürgen Damm, if he can give you 45 to 60 minutes on Wednesday, he has to go, and you put Lennon at right back. That seems to be the easiest move. Now, the question for Mulroney at left back would be a possibility dependent on Bello and how he comes out of this.
Just going through some of the other responses that we've had from you tonight, and thank you all for the interaction. A lot of people listening, a lot of people liking the 80s music, so that's good to see. Now, I did tweet, look, anytime you tweet anything positive these days, people are going to call you out. It's just the way things are in 2020. But I did tweet what I've said a couple times of the show. I really do feel like this could potentially be a turning point. We don't know. Got to back it up with something positive on Wednesday, and then you got to do something positive a week from tonight in Nashville. But this is a start. Drew Quintero, responding to that, says, I think you get another potential injection depending on how the signing to fill the designated player slot that Pitti leaves open goes. It was my understanding that Darren said, we fill that slot prior to the window closing. And, yes, he did say that. If not before the next round of matches is announced. I don't think it would be that soon.
Yeah.
But it could be a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if you try to connect the dots here, you've got a situation where the Pitti Martinez deal came about very, very quickly to the point that he was in the lineup Tuesday night. He wasn't in the lineup Wednesday when the game happened. That deal moved fast. So you were not in the market until Wednesday. Now, are you prepared? Yes, we think so. This is a team that has an extensive scouting department. This is a team that has a lot of connections, and this is a team that I think will be moving quickly. But you're not going to be able to move as quickly as normal because of the pandemic. You're not going to be able to maybe do some of the things that you would like to do here. And you have players coming in with various levels of fitness right now because of different restart dates and different league setups and different schedules and all that. So that part's a total unknown. That will be a lift. I think it might take longer than a couple weeks. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to do that wisely. You don't want to jump into that kind of a commitment just to do it fast. And the performances that you got tonight, the fight you got tonight, should give you just a little bit of pause to say, you know what, we don't have to rush into it. We are looking. We are going to work hard on identifying our targets here. But we don't have to make a move just to make a move right now.
Absolutely. Kyle Kessler, on the other hand, to my point about this being potentially a turning point, Kyle Kessler says, calm down. It was one result. Too early to be a turning point. Let's see how the next game goes and go from there. And that's fair, too.
It can be a turning point.
If you turn around and you don't take a positive step on Wednesday, then no, this was not a turning point. I'm just saying this is a potential turning point.
And also, if you've been in these situations before in teams, you're looking for a turning point if you're in the team. And you will talk yourself into turning points, just like we're doing. You will do it because you need something to rally around. I would assume the locker room after that match was pretty raucous. I would assume that will continue on to the plane where hopefully guys get some rest because they need
yes.
it. It's a short flight.
Yes.
But this is the mood changer that you need. Because, look, it's been a heavy week. You had the loss to Orlando. You had the Pitti saga break last minute before the match. It looked like it was weighing on them. Everybody said that it wasn't, which is what they should say. But it looked like it was weighing on them. Then you get the Ezekiel Barco rumors, and that's going to weigh on you. And it's just then you give up a goal at the end of the first half. You're looking for something to rally around. This could be that rallying point. It's up to the players and the team to make it the rallying point.
100% agree with you. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll try to pick through some of the things we've seen out of the post-match media availability. I know a couple comments have been passed along on Twitter, so we'll get to that. And we'll look ahead to Wednesday night against Inter-Miami as this very busy stretch of matches continues. But Atlanta United gets a draw tonight in a stoppage time goal by Adam John, 1-1 in Orlando. And we'll wrap up the full-time report after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back live on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is certainly five stripes after dark by now. We approach midnight on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend going into Sunday. A 1-1 draw for Atlanta United on a stoppage time header by Adam John. And maybe this will be the turning point of the season, maybe not. It is really we've mentioned this a few times. It is really, really cool for Adam John. He's been a hard worker, has been put into a spot that he was not signed to fill. You brought in Adam John to be your depth striker, and he's had to put in a lot of work and has not gotten a lot of service. As I told you, only three shots all year, two of them tonight in more than 300 minutes played. But I'm really happy for Adam John, and I get the feeling that he's going to become an instant club legend with the way that he shushed the wall, the Orlando supporters section behind Pedro Galese tonight after scoring that goal that secured the point.
Yeah, look, this is one of those things that, yes, it's a draw. Yes, you gave up a bad goal at the end of the first half. Yes, Orlando had the control of the play at the end of the first half. But don't argue with me that this isn't a rivalry anymore. Because this is a rivalry. You could see it. You could feel it. And the reason why it's a rivalry, because if this had been wasted on a Colorado or a Vancouver, we would be excited because you got a point late, but it wouldn't have the same feeling. Against Orlando, you love it.
Yeah, and especially because it's arguably the best Orlando team ever.
No, there's no questionably. It is absolutely the best Orlando has ever been by a long shot, and they still couldn't win at home against Atlanta United.
No. Atlanta United now 5-0-1 all-time at Exploria Stadium. Adam John, in the post-match media availability, was asked about shushing the Orlando supporters, and he said that he felt he owed the Atlanta faithful one, Jeff Lorenowitz, and these are comments transcribed by Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Another big play we briefly touched on, it's an enormous play, though, when Nani hit the post on the free kick in the 80th minute, and Emerson Heineman had to kind of bike it off the end line. Jeff Lorenowitz called that a huge play, a great heads-up play. If you don't do that, then I heard Glass say we might not get the point tonight. And that's absolutely right. Lorenowitz says that Heineman does so many little things well for the team. Lorenowitz also said that when Escobar plays well, Atlanta United plays well. Well, Escobar is not going to be able to play Wednesday because he got another yellow card tonight. That's five yellows and a retroactive red in seven matches, which LGP down there in Miami is probably looking at that and saying, wow, not even I could do that.
He's envious.
But now, here's your concern, because I stand by my comment. I think this can be a turning point, but you got to back it up with a positive result Wednesday in Miami. And you're looking at the way this back line might shape up on Wednesday. Bello took a knock. There's no doubt about that. Robinson may have taken a knock. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure. And Escobar is not going to play. Now, you could drop Brooks Lennon to right back. We've talked about Jake Mulroney potentially playing left back. But as far as your center backs are concerned, you might have to drop Jeff Lorenowitz back. And what concerns you about that is he played 90 minutes tonight.
Could be tough. It could be time to turn to George Campbell or Lawrence Wyke as well, two players that Stephen Glass is very familiar with, played a lot of minutes last year for Atlanta United too, and would be playing next to a player who is very in form right now, and Anton Walks, who has put in, you know, back-to-back really strong performances on this back line. That'll help. But, yeah, right now I think every team in the league is kind of having these decisions and figuring out what lineups look like on the fly.
So we'll be on the air 7:30 Wednesday night as Atlanta United goes to Lockhart Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. This is the rescheduled fixture from Wednesday last when Atlanta United and Inter Miami elected not to play that match in solidarity with what was happening in the NBA protest against racial inequality and injustice. So they will play that match now Wednesday. Again, 8 o'clock kickoff, 7:30 will be on the air on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That'll do it for tonight. For our producer, Jahi Whitehead, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Again, Atlanta United on a stoppage time header by Adam John, securing a 1-1 draw in Orlando. And we'll see you Wednesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.